Hello, and welcome to One World, One Health, where we talk to people working to solve some of the biggest problems facing our world. I'm Maggie Fox. This podcast is brought to you by the One Health Trust, with bite-sized insights into ways to help address challenges such as infectious diseases, climate change, and pollution. A One Health approach recognizes that everything on this planet, the animals, the plants and people, and the climate and environment, are all linked. It's easy to get people to complain about things, but how do you encourage folks to come up with solutions? One surefire way is to offer a prize. There's a newish one for global health called the Trinity Challenge. The first challenge in 2021 asked for data-driven solutions to predict, respond to, and recover from pandemics. It paid out about $8 million in U.S. dollars to eight different submissions. In this episode, we're chatting with Dr. Mark Mendelson, professor of infectious diseases at the University of Cape Town in South Africa. He's also director of the Trinity Challenge. Mark, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Mark, we could talk about infectious diseases forever, but you helped launch a project that takes some specific approaches. Can you tell us about the Trinity Challenge and what it does?
The Trinity Challenge is a UK charity that was set up by Dame Sally Davis, who's the master of Trinity College, Cambridge, and the UK Special Envoy on Antimicrobial Resistance. And she set the Trinity Challenge up in 2021 in response to the real understanding that although an enormous amount of data analytics were coming out of the COVID pandemic, there wasn't a lot of implementation for better policy and action. So she set up the challenge, which ended with a £5.7 million prize fund, to challenge people to find solutions in multidisciplinary teams that would either help predict, detect, or respond to pandemics. And it was an extremely successful challenge. We had eight wonderful winners who now receive post-award support, and their solutions are being implemented on national and then even regional scales. So Dame Sally is, as said, the UK Special Envoy to Antimicrobial Resistance and has been working in this field, in this important pandemic, for the last 10 to 15 years. And with anchor funding from the Wellcome Trust, she was able to secure this funding to set a second Trinity Challenge. And this time it is the Trinity Challenge on Antimicrobial Resistance.
Can you tell us about some of the winners?
So the grand prize winner, the first prize winner for the inaugural Trinity Challenge, was a group from Thailand, PODD, Participatory Disease Detection. And they had an amazing solution, which developed an app for Thai farmers. And the idea was that because many pandemics, and particularly we think COVID pandemics, started from a spillover event, in other words, an infection from an animal into humans, the idea of how we might be able to detect potential spillover events and therefore try and prevent pandemics for the future was to develop this app, allow the Thai farmers then to take a photo of any of their sick animals. That would then feed into a central surveillance system, and a reflex would be initiated where there would be people coming out to look at the animals and to do an investigation. And this was extremely successful and is now not only in Thailand, it was, I think, 17,000 Thai farmers initially, but this is now extended not only in Thailand, but within the region as well. On the other end of the scale, there was a solution called Blood Counts from the University of Cambridge. What it did, Blood Counts took hugely discarded data from when you have a blood sample taken to check your full blood count, and particularly when blood donation is given, a full blood count is done. Usually doctors just see 10 or 11 different parameters around that blood, which helps us to diagnose disease. But a lot of the information, laser data, is discarded. And they use artificial intelligence, machine learning, to take that discarded laser data and be able to predict where SARS-CoV-2, the COVID outbreaks, could be occurring. So again, an amazing solution, very much different from the PODD, but a solution that could allow detection of future pandemics.
Next up then, antimicrobial resistance, the rise of drug-resistant germs. What are you looking for there?
So the goal there is, again, is use innovation in data and analytics to try and change the course of any really important public health crisis, a pandemic, which is the resistance of bacteria to antibiotics. And moreover, it's to try and attend to a major gap in our knowledge. So almost all the data that we use to make decisions around antibiotic resistance, both nationally and globally, come from data that is derived from hospitals. So the laboratory tests that are done in hospitals on the bacteria. And so it's mainly people who are admitted to the hospital. Now, those people are a selected group of the population. But what we have very little data on is what's actually happening at the community level. Now, antimicrobial resistance is a problem of One Health. In other words, it affects humans, it affects animals, and affects the environment. And the other major gap is that we tend to have much more information around what's happening in humans and far less information around what's happening in food production systems and in environmental bacteria, which everything is connected because environmental bacteria get into food chains and then into humans, animals, etc. So again, we're looking at the community level. That's our focus for the Trinity Challenge. And the other focus, which is the main gap, is it's focused on low and middle income countries. So the hospital data that we have predominantly comes from high income countries in the global north. And what is lacking is data from the low and middle income countries of the global south. So global south countries, community level data across the One Health sector, that is the initial focus of this Trinity Challenge of where we're looking for innovation in data analytics.
You're really stressing data and evidence, which is so important in these days of people using opinion and belief to try to battle facts.
Absolutely. I mean, the evidence base is critical. And, you know, acknowledging the fact that the data is lacking in low middle income countries and the community level, we hope to fill that gap. And that's important because when you're making decisions about what type of antibiotics to use, what type of antibiotics we need, if we're looking at a very biased sample of people who are very sick, often going into the hospitals, develop infections in the hospitals with bacteria that reside in hospitals that are highly drug resistant, is that the same as what's happening in the community level? Say you go to a clinic with a cough that actually does require antibiotics, or you go with a urinary tract infection that do require antibiotics. Do you need the same antibiotics as you might in a hospital? Almost certainly not. But without the good data generation and understanding, we don't know that. In food production systems, what is the real level of antibiotic resistance in really important bacteria that can cross from the animals to humans? And again, in the environment, we have very little understanding of the interplay with the environmental sources. What is the best source in the environment? During COVID, we saw that wastewater was critical in our understanding of how outbreaks and community transmission and then hospitalizations actually worked. So if the wastewater was being surveyed and SARS-CoV-2, the virus, was found, then that would predict 2 weeks later that the community would start seeing cases of COVID. And 2 weeks after that is when we would see the severe COVID cases being admitted to hospital. So it allowed planning. Is that the same for AMR? Can we use wastewater or is it effluents from farm slurry? There's been an amazing paper that looked at cloud samples from the Puy de Dôme volcano weather station in the Massif Central in France, showing that the cloud samples were carrying drug-resistant bacteria with many different types of drug-resistant genes. So again, it's this sort of innovation in how and where we collect data from. And also, I guess it's also about where is the innovation in existing data sets? We may have existing data sets that just aren't being used in an innovative way. And therefore, the Trinity Challenge on antimicrobial resistance really has three major components we're interested in looking at, apart from, you know, the focus. And those are innovation, integration, and implementation. Those are the buzzwords that really center the focus, the challenge. So when we're talking about innovation, as I've said, it's, you know, where are the sources of data? How are we analyzing them? Is it whole genome sequencing? Is it another type of analysis, new or existing? Who are the people who could collect this data? We saw, as I've mentioned with our winner from the inaugural challenge, that this was farmers. You know, so who are the citizen scientists out there who we could tap into? So that's the innovation side. We also believe that there's an awful lot to be learned by another gap, in terms of we don't integrate either existing data sets or, in fact, hopefully these new data sets we might find with citizen-related data. And when we talk about citizen-related data, that's data that's being collected about us continuously. So it's mobility data, it's health metrics, it's climate data. And again, during COVID, we saw the power of this. So, for example, there were a number of studies looking at mobility data, which was able to then show how people were accessing and where they were accessing vaccination centers or diagnostic tests. It helped again in implementing better policy. So that's one part. Could mobility data be an answer to our understanding or improving our understanding of how humans access antibiotics, where they're accessing it from? You know, there are many countries we think don't allow access to antibiotics over a counter. Is that true? Can we use mobility data to perhaps think about that? And how do farmers access antibiotics for their animals? So that's how sort of mobility data might be used. Climate data, obviously climate temperatures, flooding, all these different climatic events could have implications on antimicrobial resistance. It can have implications on supply chains. Antimicrobial resistance is such a huge, complex problem that there are so many opportunities to improve our understanding of what's happening at community level. And then lastly, what we're looking for, hopefully, is solutions that will allow us to implement better action and policy change, just as we saw during the inaugural challenge and with many solutions that did come forward in the pandemic.
So why offer a prize? Is there some kind of psychology involved there?
Yes and no. I think the importance is of this challenge methodology. I mean, a prize, we're talking about funding, obviously, and traditionally academia and other groups have funding through research calls, and it's often very sort of siloed and very narrowed focused. What a challenge allows you to do, and the challenge methodology really generates multidisciplinary working, multidisciplinary functioning. And of course, to be able to develop the solutions, it requires money. So it's not really a psychology, you know, it's not a prize where it's a trophy. It's a prize, you know, the first prize is up to £1 million of funding. And the teams need that funding to be able to develop the solutions, to test their solutions, depending, again, what that type of solution is. Could be all the way from proof of concept to globalizing an already useful solution. So that's why there's a prize.
How are you measuring your success, or do you even have to do that?
You do have to measure success, absolutely. We're going to be using the same model as we used for the inaugural challenge. So once the winners were announced for the inaugural Trinity Challenge, we then went into a phase of post-award support. So we partnered with JIPEGO, the Johns Hopkins Accelerator, who are giving support to each of our 8 winners, the teams. And that goes all the way from, you know, making connections to trying to help in terms of finding implementation funding to supporting them as a group for innovation for further funding calls. So we measure it and then we measure, you know, what the success is. Obviously, there's sort of time-honored academic measures of success through publications and presentations, but we're also looking to see how it has impacted, those solutions have impacted the health landscape and pandemic preparedness. And we'll be using the same sort of criteria for the second Trinity Challenge.
So it's not just one and done. You're really keeping up with this over time.
No, absolutely. It's definitely not one and done. We've been, you know, through JIPEGO and with our partners, we've had an innovation showcase since the winners were announced. And that was a very successful showcase of how the winners had promulgated their solutions and forwarded their work. And again, that was with a view also to implementation funding. The Trinity Challenge has built a coalition of partners, which are partners, again, who are funders, but also many different companies, foundations, etc., have given in-kind support. And a number of those members have been supporting Trinity Challenge winners in their solutions. And that could be with data or with funding or with advice and etc. And that, again, we're building, again, a steering committee, a coalition, and that will be taken forward for our second Trinity Challenge.
We'll look forward to seeing who wins the antimicrobial resistance or the antibiotic resistance challenge. Mark, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Pleasure, Maggie, and thank you very much.
Listeners, if you enjoyed this podcast, please share it. You can learn more about this podcast and other important topics at onehealthtrust.org. And let us know what else you'd like to hear about at owoh@onehealthtrust.org. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to One World, One Health, brought to you by the One Health Trust. I'm Ramanan Lakshminarayan, founder and president of the One Health Trust. You can subscribe to One World, One Health on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on social media at One Health Trust, one word, for updates on One World One Health and the latest in research on One Health issues like drug resistance, disease spillovers, and the social determinants of health. Finally, please do consider donating to the One Health Trust to support this podcast and other initiatives and research that help us promote health and well-being worldwide. Until next time.